Take your Bibles, if you would, Ezra chapter 10. Ezra chapter 10, we're going to try to finish up Ezra tonight, and we'll start another study next week. But if you were here last week, we talked about the sin of Israel, the very sin that led God to send them into exile for 70 years, the very sin that God had warned them about when they first went into the promised land, the sin of intermingling with the people of the land, intermarrying with the people of the land. And God had told them not to do that because he said, they'll pull you away from me. And every time we read where God's people did that, we read that that was the results, that they were pulled away to false gods, they were pulled away to other gods. And so God had sent them into exile because of that sin for 70 years. The Babylonians had come, the Assyrians had come to the northern kingdom, the Babylonians had come to the southern kingdom. They had spent 70 years in exile. God had now allowed them to come home. He had allowed them to rebuild the temple. The walls were either in the process or were about to be rebuilt. And yet, in spite of all that, in spite of the punishment that God had meted out before, in spite of his forgiveness and bringing them back home, in spite of the temple being rebuilt and the worship in the temple being reestablished, they had done exactly the same thing that they had done before the exile. They had come back. They had intermarried with the people of the land. They had been pulled away to begin to worship false gods. And in the last part of chapter 9 that we looked at last week, Ezra was confessing the people's sin to God. And he says, we have no excuse. He said, I blush. I can't face you. You punished us for this sin. You forgave us for this sin. And here we are committing the very same sin again. So in chapter 10, we see God's people coming and confessing and repenting of that sin. So look at verse 1 of chapter 10 of Ezra. Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. So when Ezra had finished confessing and weeping and kneeling, casting himself down, kneeling before the Lord, a great body of people gathered, men, women, and children, that had the same sorrow that Ezra had. The Bible says they wept very sore. In other words, they wept very greatly. They had the same sorrow for the sin that they had committed that Ezra had. They realized how serious the sin was, and they felt the guilt before God, and they felt God had every right to punish them again for this same sin. Verse 2, and Shechaniah, the son of Jehaiz, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. That name Shechaniah means intimate, one intimate with God. This was one of the priests that we read about in chapter 8 that came back with Ezra. And he is acknowledging the people's sin, much like Ezra did in chapter 9. He's acknowledging, he says, we have trespassed against God. And I would remind you tonight, every sin is against God. Primarily, now, we sin against other people. For example, David sinned against Bathsheba. David sinned against Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. But in Psalm 51, when he was begging God for forgiveness, he said this, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And when we sin, yes, it may involve other people, but our sin is against God. And this is what Shechaniah was saying. We sinned, and our sin is against God. And he named the sin. He named the sin. He said, we've taken strange wives of the people of the land. I'm going to talk about it some more in a minute. But when we confess our sin to God, we need to be specific. So many times people say, they get to the end of the day, and they say, Lord, forgive me of all the sins that I committed this day. And I guess if you're not going to do anything else, that might be okay. But that's not what 1 John 1:9 means when it says if we confess our sins. God, and again, I'll talk about it in a little bit, about why we should do it, but God wants us to be specific about what sins we're confessing. But then notice what Shechaniah says. He says, yet now there is hope. He knew the sin, and yet he knew God. He knew that he had a forgiving God. He knew that if the people asked, that God would forgive. And so he says, concerning this thing, there's still hope. There's still hope. Verse 3, he says, now therefore, this is Shechaniah talking, now therefore, let us make a covenant. Let's make an agreement with our God. Let's make an agreement with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them. So any children that was born of one of these strange wives that the men of Israel had taken, Shechaniah says, let's make an agreement with God and let's put them away according to the counsel of my Lord. He's talking about Ezra there. And of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. And so Ezra had offered this up as a remedy. He said, we need to quit this sin. We need to undo it. We need to not only confess it, but we need to repent of it. And this was the counsel that Ezra gave. It's also the counsel of all those that trembled at the commandment of God. Those that trembled at the commandment of God are those that have a deep, abiding respect for the law of the Lord, and know that the Lord, if we as his children break that law, we stand in judgment of God. I mean, Shechaniah knew. I mean, he wasn't carried away into exile. He came back as a result of the exile. He knew how serious sin is in the sight of God. He knew that God wasn't fooling around when he gave his commandments in the law. And he knew that if the people continued to sin, that they would pay a price again. But again, he says, there's hope. Because if we confess our sin, if we repent from our sin, in other words, turn around and quit it and fix it and make it right, God will forgive us. And so he says, let's make a covenant with our God. And let's live according to the law. We'd be a lot better off today. God's people would be a lot better off today if we would just resolve to live according to God's law. If we would just resolve and do our best to live according to the Bible. All right, look at verse 6. Wait a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. I skipped a couple. Where am I at? All right, here we go. Verse 4. Arise, talking now, Shechaniah is talking to Ezra. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. And so what Shechaniah is saying, Ezra, we need you to lead us. You are God's appointed leader. We need you to lead us in the effort of confessing and repenting from our sin. We'll have your back. We'll be with you, but it's going to take courage for you to do it, but we just please do it. Lead us in this effort. So in verse 5, then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. So Ezra responded to Shechaniah's call for him to lead in this effort. And he led in a national time of confession and a national time of repentance. Notice who he started with. He started with the chief priest. Some of them had broken this law. He went to the Levites. Some of them had broken this law. They'd intermarried with the women of the land. And then he called all of Israel, all the men in Israel, and he says, let's make a vow. Let's make an oath to God that we will be obedient to his word when it comes to this issue of intermarrying with people of the land. And they swear. The priests did, the Levites did, and the people did. Verse 6. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, another priest, the son of Elish. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgressions of them that had been carried away. So he came into this chamber of another priest that was there. He fasted, okay, he fasted for a while, and he mourned for those that had been carried away and had come back now and were involved with the same sin. Verse 7, and they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem. So after this time of fasting, Ezra comes out and he issues a proclamation. Okay, he sends the word out. And again, the people weren't all in Jerusalem. They were scattered throughout the land. As they come back, some of them stayed in Jerusalem, but they'd scattered to their homelands. And so he sends out word to all of Israel, we need to meet in Jerusalem. We're going to have this time of national confession and national repentance. Everybody needs to come to Jerusalem. Verse 8, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. And so Ezra said, hey, everybody come back to Jerusalem. Come back within 3 days. And again, the princes and the elders of the people agreed with what Ezra said. If you don't come back, we're going to confiscate your property. And we're going to excommunicate you from the community. Okay? So everybody come back. You got 3 days to do it. If you don't do it, there's going to be a price to pay. Verse 9. Now look at this. Notice the small words in the Bible. Then all, when the Bible says all, it means all. It means not one man stayed at home. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. Notice, it was the ninth month on the 20th day. It was the ninth month on the 20th day of the month. And all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. So, when Ezra sent out the word, hey, all the men need to come to Jerusalem. If you don't come, we're going to take your property. We're going to excommunicate you from the community. You need to come to Jerusalem. Everybody came. All the men came. They came and sat in the street before the temple. And they trembled. They trembled because of two reasons. They trembled because of their sin. And they trembled because it was raining. It says there, a great rain. Ezra stands up, verse 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now, what he was talking about when he says, you've increased the trespass of Israel, what he was saying is, this is what your fathers did. This is what led to their exile. We were forgiven. We were brought back. God blessed us. He gave us freedom from our captors. He let us come back and rebuild the temple. He gave us favor with those that held us captive. They restored all the dishes that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. They sent some of their own wealth. They gave us animals. They gave us what we needed to worship our God. And Ezra's saying, yet we have increased Israel's sin because we went back into the same sin that our fathers committed that led God to punish them. Verse 11. Now, therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. So Ezra says, confess. Confess your sin. Admit your sin. Confess it to God and repent. Do his pleasure. Do what it says in his word. Separate yourself from the people of the land and separate yourself from these strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. Everybody joined in and shouted, yes, we will do it. We'll do exactly what you said. But the people, verse 13, but the people are many, and it is a time of much rain. It was the rainy season. It was raining. And we are not able to stand without, neither is this work of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Now, what the people were saying is, their sin was public. Everybody knew who had taken a strange wife. Everybody knew who had had children by that wife. So their confession was also to be public. And so their repentance was also to be public. They were going to come before the priest, and they were going to make confession. Yes, I've taken part in this sin. I have married a strange wife. Perhaps they had had children. And their confession was going to be public, and their repentance was going to be public. I am going to put her away. In other words, we're going to dissolve the marriage. I'm not going to stay married to this strange wife because she's going to pull me away from God. That's why God didn't want him to do it in the first place. Verse 14, let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. And so here's what the people asked that Ezra agreed to. We're going to get organized. We're going to come by city. The rulers and the elders and the judges of that city are going to come. We're going to set appointments for people to come back so they don't got to stand in the street for a long time. So you're going to see it took them 2 months. It took them 2 months for everybody to come and make a public confession and make a public repentance. And so they couldn't stand for that long. I mean, it was raining. So they set up appointments, and they were to come before the leaders of their city and make a public confession, a public repentance, and turn from their sins. Their leaders would be their witnesses, and they would do it. They would all do it until the wrath, the fierce wrath of God, would be lifted from them. Now, in verse 15, they appoint a couple of priests and a couple of Levites to do this. Okay? Only Jonathan, the son of Ashhel, and Jehozadak, the son of Tikvar, were employed about this matter, and Meshulam and Shabatha, the Levites, helped them. Okay? And so they appointed these four men to hear the confessions and to see the repentance. And the children of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest was certain chief of the fathers after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names were separated and set down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And so they started. The appointments were made, and they started coming the first day of the 10th month. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. And so it took them. So by the time when Ezra made the proclamation for everybody to get together. Remember, it was the 20th day of the ninth month. It took them 10 days to get everything organized. Then they started. And it took them 2 months for everybody that had taken strange wives to come before the judges and the rulers and the elders of their city to make confession. They started with the priest, verse 18. And the priest that had taken strange wife, they confessed, they repented, they offered a ram as a sacrifice for their sin. In verses 20 through 22, and verse 23, other priests and the Levites. Verse 24, the singers and the porter. And then verses 25 through 43, Israel by their families. And so they started with the leadership. They went down again through the priests, the Levites, the singers, the porters, and then family by family. And in verse 44, all these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. They came at their appointed time. They confessed, they repented, and they put away their wives and their children that they had with those strange wives. Now, 1 John 1:9. It's a wonderful promise that God has given us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, I would tell you tonight that our confession needs to be specific. Not at the end of the day we go to God and said, I know I've sinned today. You know what they are. Please forgive me for all those sins. I don't believe that that's how God wants us to do it. Because I believe if that's the way we do it, it'll be too easy for us to do them again and again and again. We need to be specific. I wasn't kind to this person today. In fact, I was mean to this person today. I was impatient with this person today. I said this thing and it was wrong and hurtful for me to say it. I thought this thought today and it was wrong for me to entertain a thought. And I confess that specific thing and I repent. Now, repentance includes trying to make things right. I mean, when these people repented, they put away their wives. They took an action. Our repentance needs to include making things right. If we've hurt somebody, we need to go and apologize and ask for their forgiveness. If we said something wrong to somebody, we need to go and confess and say, hey, I shouldn't have said this. I was way off base, and I know it might have been hurtful to you, and I apologize for that. The more specific our confession and the more specific our repentance, the better chance we have of not repeating the sin. Let me say it again. The more specific our confession and the more specific our repentance, the better chance we have of not committing the sin again. 1 John 1:9 is not a license to keep on committing the same sin over and over and over and over. I commit it. I ask God for forgiveness. He's forgiven me so I can do it again. I can always ask for more forgiveness so I can do it. That's not the way that God wants it to work. 1 John 1:9 is a promise, but it's a promise that God will use, if we'll do it the way he wants us to do it, to be specific in our confession, to be specific in our repentance. And again, repentance includes trying to make it right. It's a way that God will help us and the Holy Spirit will help us not to repeat that sin. Amen. Now, again, don't leave this place and say, well, the preacher said that if we ever commit a sin a second time, God's not going to forgive us. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that God would be pleased if we didn't commit the same sin over and over and over and over again and claim 1 John 1:9. I don't believe that's in his intent for the verse. I believe he wants us to confess, repent, and then live right, not commit that sin again. And so again, I would encourage you tonight, this is the point of the Bible study tonight, here's a people that specifically confessed their sin. They specifically repented of it. They tried to make it right by putting away the strange wives. Now, I wish I could tell you that from then on, they never did it again. But I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. But let's use 1 John 1:9 the way God wants us to. Let's be specific, both in our confession and our repentance. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying back in the library. Ladies will be praying here in the auditorium. Ask you to join us if you can and if you would. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.